Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
No, my watch is broken too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
I stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 central on CBS.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that I've been doing now for 20 years on this station, trying to intersect faith and values with different issues, people, and our culture. It's been a joy doing the program. Thank you, listeners, for joining me on a weekly basis. Thank you to my sponsors, Ruth Chris Steakhouse and Perry's Fine Jewelry. Without your support, this program could not continue. It just means so much. Thank you. Well, I love to have people on the show who have testimonies, who've gone through difficult times, and from their test comes a testimony that really does help all of us grow in our faith. And I have such a story today. David Hoffman is my guest. He's a local real estate guru, if you will. He has lots of influence in our community. He also, beyond that, has a terrific story of how he went from darkness into light. David Hoffman, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me this morning, David.
Yeah, well, let's talk about your background. Let people know a little bit about who you are, from where you came, and then we'll get into your story.
Absolutely. So my mom had multiple sclerosis, and she made a decision to have me, and that sacrifice put her into a coma. And when she came out of the coma almost 40 years ago, she was paralyzed from the waist down. About 2 years later, my father left her and took me, and I've forgiven my father, just like we have been forgiven for all of our sins. He remarried, and I was raised Jewish, but I was also raised in a very challenging childhood, like many others. And so over the years, David, I would go back and forth between asking God if he would rather me not know him or hate him.
Was there a time you actually hated God because of the environment in which you were raised?
Yeah. A few years ago, I felt comfortable, David, to share my story when I would speak at real estate conferences. And I would share about how when I was a child, I would eat dog food because I was so hungry.
Really?
And now I've got two little boys. And when my first little one was crawling to the dog bowl where our Yorkie eats, my wife would joke because we're in such a good place and adversity becomes gifts. You know, you realize when you least expect it. My wife would say, hey, just because daddy ate dog food doesn't mean you have to.
And now let me pause a second, David. You actually, as a child, had to eat dog food from time to time in order simply to exist because of the hunger that you had.
Unfortunately, yeah, it turned into a gift.
It's a vivid image that makes us all think what you went through.
I also would drink bath water until I got caught because it makes noise. So I moved to the toilet. Mm. And so, yes, I hated God. Mm. And I would ask, would you rather me not know you? You know, I would fast on Yom Kippur as a Jew, and I would walk to buy bacon and egg sandwiches for my stepmom and dad while I'm fasting and I'm not even drinking water. So, and I would see my mom 5-6 times a year, David. And when I saw her, she was in a wheelchair from the waist down, but from the waist up, strong believer, heart as gold, and her mind was intact. And I would always ask, why can't I live here? Why can't I be with you?
Mm. So you would see her how often as you're growing up as a child?
Only a couple of every other month.
Okay.
I wish it was every day.
Yeah. But obviously a person whose bad circumstances did not cause her to hate God, that her faith became rich even though she was in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down after having given birth to you.
Absolutely. To the day she died, and I did not know how sick she was, and my one regret in life is not being able to say goodbye. I said I was going to visit her. I was in D.C. She was in New York City. And she said, yeah, come up. I miss you. And I was an adult then. She died 14 years ago. She had a big smile on her face, and I just think she just didn't want me to worry. But she always gave Jesus all the love and all the glory.
Did she have a faith before the MS and giving birth to you, or did that happen after it?
She was raised Catholic, and she converted to Judaism for my father. And then after my father left, she went back and went back to Jesus.
So that's what drove her into a deep personal relationship with Jesus in her faith.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now I see it all. Mm. I got saved 10 years ago, David, and now I see it all. Now I see his love.
Well, you've obviously been through a lot, and your foundation shows to all of us that life isn't easy, and you had to come against a lot of forces that would cause you to be despairing and unbelieving, and yet here you are today talking about your faith, and that's what I want the program to really centralize on today is how you came out of that really awful, negative, looking at God and wondering if he even existed, hating God if he did exist, to this place of real faith in your life today, David. And just real quickly, you're married now?
Yeah, I'm married to the love of my life, Jessica. I've got two beautiful little boys, Cain and Knox, and I give God all the glory, and I fail every day, but he's an amazing father.
Well, you are among the people who fail every day, which is every single one of us who lives on this planet. And of course, you've been married for how long now?
A little over 6 years. I was actually married for 1 year, and I'm still friends with my first wife, but we weren't believers.
Okay.
And so we put it on, our marriage was based on idols, on enjoyment and money. And so when the market crashed, we went separate ways.
Mm. Well, God has a way of taking those very terrible times and using them to advance us in our faith. David Hoffman is my guest today, and he's sharing his story. And when we come back, David, I want you to begin to take us through how you came out of that really awful situation to a place of deep faith now, where you are literally generous to helping people all over the world. David Hoffman is my guest. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Welcome back to the show. My guest today is David Hoffman. He's a real estate mogul, if you will, here in the city of Charlotte. Has had great success, but you know what I love about your story, David? You didn't always have great success, and you've come from a place of real darkness and hopelessness into a place of light and hope, and that's what I want you to share today because I guess all my listeners know I love hope. I think hope is really, really important. We begin every day in Charlotte's Morning News with a moment of hope that I do at 5:40, and hopefully it begins all of your days who are listening with a sense of hope, because hope is what we need in order to live, and without hope, we can't live another second of our lives. So in God, when we have faith in him, I believe every day is potentially filled with hope, and David, your story shares such hope. So in case people are just jumping on board now, you are a child. You are in a situation that's not good. You are hungry sometimes. You're having to eat dog food, having to drink water out of the toilet. It's not a good situation. So how did you move from your childhood through your teenage years to adulthood to get where you are today?
Well, 10 years ago, I realized it was all because of him. Before Jesus, I was going down a really bad path, even after high school. My senior year in high school, David, I moved to Washington, D.C., and I went to school at George Mason. And at this time, the world owes me something. You know, again, I either don't know God or I don't have a very positive opinion of him because of my childhood and being taken from my mom and what I went through and what my mom was going through. And so I was very selfish and self-serving, but I also craved relationships because I never had any outside of my mom. Didn't have one with Jesus, didn't have one with my dad, my stepmom. Friends didn't want to be my friends because they'd be throwing eggs in my house because I was the weird kid. And so I went to college and I built a relationship with a professor of econ and at George Mason, and I got an opportunity to work at a think tank in D.C. As a 20-year-old, I had an opportunity to be an economist. They saw something in me, and I just said yes. And I always wanted to be an athlete, and I wasn't as tall or as gifted as you, so I never...
Well, I don't know about the gifted part, but the tall part is true.
But we got a call on the jock tax, how athletes are taxed when they travel, and they said, David, you love sports. Can you help with this? And I'm an economist, senior in college, and I'm working 5 o'clock in the morning. My friends are still probably awake. And I started digging into it, and I became the quote unquote expert on the jock tax. You know, it's easy to be the expert when you do something no one else wants to do. And long story short, I fast forwarding, I still think it's all about me. I'm not giving God the glory. It's all me. I did everything myself. I started building relationships with these athletes because I was fighting for them and building relationships with agents. And I had a full ride to law school in University of Maryland, and I didn't have any money, so that was a great blessing. And then I got an offer to work at Octagon Law Firm, and because I wasn't good enough to be a professional athlete or even a college athlete or barely even a high school athlete, being a sports agent was my next dream, and it was all right in front of me. And then my mom passed away, and I was supposed to visit her, but it was all about me at this point, David. You know, I'm 24 now, and my mom didn't tell me how sick she was. Maybe she knew, maybe she didn't. I was her only child, and she just had such a love for Jesus and a smile on her face that I truly believe she knew and didn't want to tell me. So when I got to the funeral, my heart just broke, and I cried for days because I didn't know Jesus. And I was hopeful I knew where my mom was, and I know where she is now. But I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know what my purpose was, and I was the only person that loved me. So I fast forward 3 months. This is probably the turning point in my life. I fast forward 3 months, and I'm getting ready to speak at a sports and entertainment law conference in Baltimore, Maryland. The whole world's right in front of me. And I'm paying my bills, David, because I'm going to go from Virginia to Maryland and spend the night, and I wanted to get my bills paid. And I came across a reminder card for an MS walk that was that day. And I never did MS walks because it was always about David. It was never about my mom or Jesus.
And for anybody listening right now, your mom had MS, and that's why you had a special sensitivity for that about her.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I didn't make it a focus until this time. I was very selfish because I feel like the world owed me something. And that day, and so I pulled out my phone, my little sidekick. I'm not very tech savvy, but I pulled it out. I sent an email to the dean. I said, I can't do the talk. I have to go do the walk. And so I did the walk, and I cried the whole time, not knowing what I was doing, if I made the right decision. My friends were proud of me. They said, well, Dave, what are you going to do now? You know, that was the one bridge I burnt. The dean wasn't very happy with me. Mm-hmm. And he said, what are you going to do now? My friends said, oh, what are you going to do now? They said, well, you love people and you love real estate. I wasn't very good at it, but that was 2004 when you could just tell someone what you make. And as long as you have good credit, you could do whatever you want with real estate. So people thought I was smarter than I was.
And the economy is booming. And everything looked great.
Everyone's smart. Everyone's smart. And so I thought I was going to be a realtor in D.C., but my economist background, it's funny how when you least expect it, gifts that God has given you come back to help you. And I realized I need a fresh start. Growing up in New York City, living in D.C., I need to get away from the rat race. So I moved to Charlotte sight unseen. I bought a townhouse before I moved. I left my dream of being a sports agent, and I said, I'm going to be a realtor. But I still wasn't saved. So I still thought it was my idea, and I don't know why I did it. So I just put whatever I had in a backpack, and I just moved to Charlotte. To be
alone?
A realtor.
Didn't know anybody?
Didn't know anybody.
Okay.
In retrospect, I was like, wow, it does take more faith to not believe because God had my whole life planned. And he really knew that it was going to be good. And as I moved to Charlotte, and as I was driving, I had 7 hours in the car, and I started thinking, how on earth am I going to do this? David, what did you just do? You just left your friends. You just left your dream job. You left opportunity. You don't know Charlotte. You're not from the South. You're from New York City. And I started thinking, you know, if I had one chance to make a friend, I'm going to show them how much I care and I'm going to give more than I take. And that's going to give me an opportunity to serve them in real estate. And I started thinking, yeah, this is a big decision. This could be life or death for someone with marriage and stress, real estate. I need to be the expert. I've got a lot of really good friends I trust in my kids, but I don't know if I would trust them to pay a bill for me. And I started thinking, if I ever have a chance to be a father, I don't want to be so busy that I can't be the dad that I never had. I want to be the husband that my dad wasn't for my mom. And so those three guiding principles, I mean, God was working through me without me knowing him, really helped me. Fast forward 3 years, I was a rookie of the year in Charlotte. I sold 46 homes as a 25-year-old young whippersnapper, knowing no one, because I just worked hard and just became an advisor and an expert and treated people with the love and respect that I always wanted. And I got married, and then the economy collapsed, David. And when the economy collapsed, our marriage crumbled in days.
So it was a marriage built on all the wrong things.
It was.
As you alluded to in the first segment, that it was on idols of riches and wealth and prestige and power and all those things that ultimately do collapse. And that was when your life collapsed as well, right?
It did. It did. I lost my marriage. I couldn't pay my bills. And I heard, first time, I heard fairly audibly God say, you've tried it your way for 30 years. Why don't you give me a chance? And that was early 2009.
Now, are you in a broken state here? You really don't have anything on which you're depending. You are really going, what is life all about? And I'm not sure it makes sense at all. Is that where you were?
Absolutely, David. Okay. I mean, my mom was taken from me. I was in abusive situations. I finally thought I had it in D.C., and then I left.
Then you thought you had it here in Charlotte.
And I thought I had it here in Charlotte. And then my wife was taken from me. And I'm thinking, God, seriously, if you're a good God, I mean, can I meet you? Mm. And it was almost like loud and clear. He said, you tried it your way for 30 years. Now give me a chance. Mm. And so I was on my knees day and night. And he said, just serve. I still had some good clients. My clients did trust me. You know, they knew, hey, maybe you're not the best husband being present. I was never physically unfaithful, but I was probably, I know I was spiritually unfaithful. I'd work all hours, day and night. So my clients appreciated me. They knew I cared. So I had some business, but the economy was horrible. So I just served. I got involved with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and I just served, and I raised money. Mr. Alan Tate was my mentor when I worked at Alan Tate, and he got me involved in the Charlotte Junior Chamber. I became president 50 years to the day he became president, and I served unconditionally with no money. I just had time and relationships.
Well, David, listening to you, and by the way, listeners, this is David Hoffman sharing his story. You know, I think of the verse in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10, where it says, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling discouraged, go serve somebody else. And then you'll find the dawn of your depression starting to lift and God giving you new hope. That sounds like what exactly happened to you. You're in a bad state, and all of a sudden you start giving your life away. Your depression lifts, and God starts revealing his purpose for your life.
Well, you're absolutely right, David, and I didn't know that.
It's a principle, though, that works no matter who you are. If you go give your life away, you find yourself when you lose yourself in something greater than yourself.
Yeah. I always find myself receiving when I give and just giving freely with any gifts that I've been given. You know, I gave a talk at a real estate conference a few years ago to this point, David, and there was someone in the crowd who raised their hand during Q&A and said, David, this is great. You're talking about building a big business on relationships. What if you just help a ton of people over the years in their personal life, and you help save marriages, and you bring them to Christ, but you can't pay your bills because none of them ever pick you to buy or sell a home. You might appreciate this. I just said, well, you know what? When I get to heaven, maybe I did okay.
Well, you know, in Jesus' words, he would say to you, your reward in heaven is great because you've placed yourself in the right position. You've emphasized the right priorities. And really, we don't ever understand this fully here on this side of eternity. We will in heaven one day, but we really are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. How we live now is going to affect how we live there. And it sounds like you are beginning to understand that great truth.
Well, I got saved. It was none of me. I got saved, and I met my wife the next day.
Really? The next day? You came to faith in the Lord, and then the next day you met your wife?
Well, and he does have a humor.
He does have a sense of humor.
It gets better. I took Ric Flair out for his 60th birthday party, and my wife was having a glass of wine with a girlfriend at the bar.
Oh, really? So Ric Flair helped you meet your wife. Woo! Yeah. That sounds like a part of the great story that you're telling right now. In case, listeners, you're just joining us, my guest today is David Hoffman. And David is a real estate mogul here in town, has had great success, but hasn't had a life of ease. He went through the deep, dark valleys that all of us go through, but it was there that he met his Lord. It was there that life became real to him. And one of the things, David, I want us to emphasize today, we need to go to a break in just a second, though, is that God takes us in the valleys oftentimes to show us the beauty of the light above. And you can't really know his great love and grace until you walk through the depth of the darkness of the valley. And just real quickly, that's what you experienced, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we want to get to your story now on the other side of the depression, the collapse of the economy, your brokenness, coming to faith now in the Lord, and where God's taken you over the last several years, which is just, folks, a remarkable story that we'll hear about in just a moment. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. That song you're listening to is entitled Bless the Broken Road. And it's true that a lot of times we have to go through brokenness to get to blessedness. I don't know why God ordains it that way, but my guess is we learn a whole lot more on our knees having to look up than we do standing up in our prideful, stiff shoulders saying to God, we know how to do things. And the whole idea of being blessed in our brokenness is the theme of today's program with David Hoffman, who's my guest today. And by the way, if you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the podcast from beginning to end. I think you'll want to, because it is a story of how God took somebody in extreme brokenness and gave them great blessedness. David Hoffman, thank you again for being on the show. And when we left, right before the last segment, you have been through a broken marriage. You have been through the economy collapsing in 08, 09, which, of course, in the real estate business was the worst possible time for the economy to collapse. And you are at a point of real brokenness. And God says to you, trust me. You've done it your way. It hadn't worked. Now, trust me and let me do it my way through you, and you gave your life to the Lord, and what happened next?
And like you've said many times, David, it takes more faith to not believe, and yeah. I really believe this, because the next day after giving my life to the Lord, I met the love of my life, and I was not in a good place. And God said, give it to me. You've tried it your way. It didn't work. Give it to me. And so I met Jessica, and she's beautiful inside and out, strong believer. And we both went to church and then had our first date. But I was in a bad place. And so she was patient with me while God told me to serve. And so while I was finding him and serving, Jessica just stood by my side. And then,
isn't that cool when you have somebody do that? I mean, my wife and I have been married now 41 years, and I think of all that I've been through during those years, and she's just steadfastly chosen to stand beside me, and every time she does it again and again, it just draws us closer and closer together. So you're on the way to a great journey, my friend. Look forward to the years to come.
Absolutely. Yeah, when I hear about your anniversary every year, my wife and I look at each other, and we get encouraged yeah. because even after being saved, we've had our valleys yeah. and our with our hills, of course.
Yeah, and our marriage hasn't been perfect. We've had our moments where we just get really mad at each other because we're two people that are human and have flesh and blood. But the truth is, the more we bump, the closer we get. And the more we work through those issues, the more intimately we become with one another. So all listeners, from David's and my perspective, if you're in a marriage that's got some bumps, hey, you know, it gives you a chance to get those rocks out of the way so you can have a smoother marriage. Use them as that opportunity. Don't move apart. Move toward one another. And so you and Jessica are now married, and she's walking with you. And how is your faith journey going?
I'm growing closer to God every day. And so we got married a little over 6 years ago. And we had a honeymoon baby, Cain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. And he's a beautiful boy, and he sings Christian music, and he leads prayer every night, and he's just a wonderful little boy. My wife then went pretty far into pregnancy. We found out we had a baby girl coming named Kennedy, and she had Down syndrome, and we were learning about Down syndrome, and we were so excited, and then we lost her on Christmas Eve of 15. Mm. And then my wife had a miscarriage after another heartbeat with a little girl early 16. Mm. And then we had our little boy Knox. And I was in a church service with you, David, a little less than 3 years ago. And my wife didn't go that day because she insisted we lost Knox as well. After losing two babies, one far along, she insisted that we lost Knox.
Mm. And she was thinking that because two had been lost, that she would certainly lose this one as well.
And there was even the symptoms.
The symptoms, you know, were there.
The women know,
okay.
you know, and
they know
a lot of signs from Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, she woke up broken and sad. So I went on my own, and I prayed during the service. And halfway through the service, I walked outside into the lobby, and I called my wife. And I said, babe, this is God talking. You know, I would not be calling you. This is too risky for me to be saying, but Knox is okay.
Mm.
And
what, did you just have that sense deep in your heart by faith that he
yeah,
was okay?
Yeah. You know, I've heard you say many times, you know, you have to watch for him speaking. And I said, babe, I don't know where this is coming from, but I truly believe in my heart. I have full confidence. I would not be calling you. She started crying. For a second there, she said, I can't believe you're calling me right now. And then she said, holy cow, you really believe this, don't you? Like, he really talked to you, didn't he? My wife's a strong believer, David.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just like the story you're probably going to share at church next week about a woman who was healed, I do believe in Jesus fully. I do believe that he can save us, and I mean, he died on a cross so we would be forgiven, and he can do all things, and we can do all things through him. So I told her that our little boy was okay. Sinner, failure, broken human David would never in a million years call my wife and tell her that, and break my wife's heart all over again. The next day, I went to the doctor, 164 heartbeat, and 4 months later, Knox entered this world. And now I got up at 3 a.m. You know, he doesn't sleep through the night, and he's very strong willed, but he's a beautiful baby boy, and he sings Christian music himself. And that was God talking to me again,
well, you
to
know,
trust
David,
in him.
I hear your story. It's almost like this theme of blessedness through brokenness comes over and over again in your life. And here you are with, you know, two miscarriages, and one of them is a Down syndrome child. And I know you have a very strong pro-life perspective, as do I. And it's interesting that 90% of all Down syndrome children are aborted today, sadly. But yet you and your wife were willing to say, no, we want this child in our home. And yet God, in his own sovereignty, chose to allow that child to go be with him as another one. But then you have finally the next child, Kennedy. And it looks again like this theme of God blessing you through deep valleys continues to come up in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as soon as you open the Bible, Genesis reminds us that the devil is here, because of Adam and Eve. And so we have the hills and valleys. And I used to be so scared of death and have so much fear and anxiety. And now I just trust in him. And I just do the best I can every day to keep him in the center, keep him in my heart so that wherever I am can be first because he's always there. Mm. And to stay thankful in all that I do have. And so having Knox and Kane, my two little boys, knowing I'll meet my two girls in heaven, you know, the adversities I've faced through my life, David, have been such great gifts because I have perspective, which allows for gratitude.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you that. You said gratitude. You really can be thankful for all those painful places that you've been. I mean, from your small childhood to having to eat dog food sometime to, you know, going through the deep valleys of a divorce, to go through the economic depression of the American situation in 08, 09, to, you know, losing two children through miscarriage. I mean, you're really saying that you can thank God for all of that stuff?
Absolutely, and there's more.
Uh-oh, keep going. I want to hear more.
There's more.
Yeah.
There's more. One of the reasons we may have lost the girls is my wife has had a disease as long as I've known her. And we thought that she just had tough pregnancies. But a couple of years ago, it got really bad. And we went to one doctor through a relationship I had, and he said she has chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Now, fibromyalgia was a disease that most of the Dr. Kevorkian patients went to him for assisted suicide because of all the pain and just despair. You just run out of hope. We went to another doctor who said her memory retention was equal to that of someone with dementia. Now, mind you, my wife is 36 years old. Mm. She had a resting heart rate of 110. She was told that she had candida that was eating her insides from the inside out. She had all these challenges where, you know, she would just struggle. She's such an amazing mom and wife, and she put on a good front. So I think a lot of people didn't believe her. But over the last year and a half, the anxiety and depression was horrible, as it would be for, I'm sure, you and I as well. I can't imagine. I mean, when I have a cold, I probably complain more than she did with all of this. And then a few months ago, and she took all the heavy metals out of her mouth, and she went to 9 specialists, and we used all the money we had, and I mean, God kept providing. You know, you can ask, why is this happening, or thank him for providing our two beautiful boys and the ability to take care of my wife. A few months ago, my wife was on a message board, and a woman was talking about how she almost took her life, and many women have taken their lives. Many husbands have left their spouses, and it was about breast implant illness. And at this point, I'll be honest, I think I might have rolled my eyes. I may have giggled and said, come on, babe. This is the 14th different diagnosis. At this point, you start asking God, you know, okay, are you going to show up soon? You know, now this, we've taken the metals out of your mouth. We've used hundreds of thousands of dollars or time and resources. My wife's fighting just to get out of bed. It's like she's running a marathon every 2 minutes. And so long story short, God told me a year ago she will be healed. And I don't have a lot of patience, David. So the last year has been really rough, but he told me to be patient and she would be healed. Every morning, I would help her with her medicines. She would take 100 medicines every day and liquids and doctor appointments. And I'd write a Bible verse every morning and I stay patient. And 2 weeks ago, she had a surgery for the breast implant illness, had her breast implants removed, had all the encapsulation removed. And she went from looking 45 to looking 25 and she's essentially healed.
No kidding. Wow. Okay, folks, hang on to that one. We got to come back and reflect on God's graciousness to you in this healing. David Hoffman's my guest. God is good, folks, and there's always hope. Believe that. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. With my guest, David Hoffman, he's a real estate exec here in the city, just eminently successful, but boy, he's been through some really tough times. I want to let him tell the rest of his story because we had to take a break. David, your wife's got fibromyalgia. She's depressed. Even sometimes you would think maybe suicidal because other people have gone through that. And she goes and gets her breast implants removed, and suddenly there is a total dramatic healing for her. Talk about some more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, over the years, through the four pregnancies, my wife and I just thought that she was having difficult pregnancies. And then afterwards, it got worse, and she wasn't pregnant. And so it got to the point where we would go in every direction we can, every doctor, every specialist, wherever we could find someone, online, not online, and a lot of prayer to find answers. I'm going to back up a year and say that God told me loud and clear, stay faithful and be patient. David, one of my strengths is not patience. And so, you know, you don't want your wife to be ill, and you don't always understand because she's so beautiful inside and out and she doesn't want anyone to worry. I couldn't always visibly see her pain, and which would break my heart. And I would get impatient. I would even get frustrated because I would think that she's fine. And I would say, let's have a date night. Let's take the boys. And I would see her struggle through it. And God said, be patient. Trust in me. And I did. And my wife did. And we found out about breast implant illness a few months ago. And I'll be honest, I thought it was a little wonky, a little airy-fairy. And but I just kept trusting. And it was a very tedious process and surgery. And unfortunately for a lot of people, because insurance doesn't cover it, it's a difficult process to make come to life. And I think a lot of people are scared, you know, because it's very invasive. We had the surgery. I had full faith that she would be healed. The doctor came out after the surgery, the surgeon, and said, I got great news for you. The surgery went really well. I've got even better news for you. This is a different woman that came out than went in.
Wow.
She got 20 years back. She's 36. She went from looking probably 46 to 26. Mm. The next morning, she got up at 3 in the morning. I used to do the morning shift. I do usually the morning shift until 7:30 for the boys until I get ready for work. And now she's getting up with me, and she has all the happiness. The anxiety is gone. The pain is gone. And she's full of life and energy, and she's throwing the boys in the air and running and jogging and serving in the community. And the woman I fell in love with is back, and it just brought me back to all the valleys where God said, just trust in me, stay faithful. And yet again, he provided.
You know, as I listen to your story, David, over this hour together, you have gone through amazing descriptions of the valleys you've walked through. And with each part of your story, you talk about how God brought you out of the valley. But the phrase you keep using that I keep hearing is God just says to you over and over again, trust me. You don't do it your way. Do it my way. Is that the simple way of describing your faith right now?
Yeah, it's such an easy way to live, David, when you just trust in him. You know, I cannot imagine sacrificing one of my sons like he did. Mm. And because of that ultimate sacrifice, I trust in him fully. And again, the adversity that I've faced and you face and we've all faced over the years comes back, and there's blessings in it. I wouldn't have the gratitude I have today for every relationship in my life if not for challenges and a lack of relationships. I wouldn't have the perspective of focusing on being the best. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the perfect husband or father by any means, but my childhood showed me how not to be a husband and father. Mm. So those challenges have become blessings, and he always provides, not always on our time, but on his time.
Yeah, and next week's Father's Day, we'll have a special Father's Day program, but I'm sure you'd want to say, man, there's nothing better than being a dad. You didn't have a good one. He wasn't there for you. Now you're being a good dad to your kids.
Absolutely. I love those little guys.
Oh, man. And that's one of the great lessons we can learn in life, is that just because the curse of having a bad dad was passed on to you, that doesn't mean you have to continue to pass on that curse. You can choose today to spend time with your kids. You know, kids spell love, T-I-M-E. And when you do so, and you really love your kids, you can prepare them for the next generation with a great relationship with their dad. And David, I see you doing that. And I also want to make sure before we conclude the program today, you have a chance to talk about generosity. You've been giving to this community financially, serving-wise, over the last years. And even though you've been through some dark valleys, you always come back to not only trusting God, but being generous and serving and giving. Talk about that, please.
Absolutely. You know, we're only on this earth for 1 to 100 years. and everything we have came from him. And so, again, I tried it my way for 30 years. It didn't work out too well. And so now anything he gives me, any dollars, any opportunities, any relationships, any skills, any gifts, I'm going to pay him forward. And I'm doing that because it's my way of honoring our Heavenly Father who is giving us so much and the ultimate sacrifice. And also it's a way to show anyone in my life as a real estate agent, I believe I'm called to be a marketplace ambassador and to walk. And I travel and I speak to real estate agents and even some of my clients. Many of my clients are non-believers. Many agents I walk across the table with sit across the table by serving and serving others without ever expecting anything in return. People are watching. Mm. And so if I can help bring one person to Christ and show one person that we have a wonderful Heavenly Father, then that's the best gift.
You're living out what I believe with all of my heart, that our mission field's between our feet. Wherever we are during the day is where God wants us to be, and we're His servants to help expand His love, tell people about Jesus, and to be willing to lift God up and let people be drawn to Him through our witness. And that's what you've done, David. And I'm really proud to hear that story.
Well, I'm working on it every day, David. I'm honored to be here with you this morning, and I'm going to continue to fall and fail forward and get back up, giving Him all the glory and serving all day and night.
Mm. So if you had to give a word to all of our listeners out there as we conclude the program, people going through brokenness, deep, dark valleys, places of pain, what would you say to them, David Hoffman?
I would recommend that they give it to God and give it to God unconditionally with hope and faith and peace, and He will provide.
And if the answer doesn't immediately come and they don't get what they want right out of the chute when they've trusted God, what would you say to them?
He's working. Trust in Him and be patient.
And would you tell people that faith isn't immediate in its answers, but sometimes when we wait, God does His best work as we're waiting?
Absolutely. Faith is not knowing what's going to come next and continuing to serve and stay faithful and patient. Patience is a key word for me, is to stay hopeful and faithful and at peace with patience. It's happening on His time. He's working.
And so God is in control. We know it, and we trust Him. And as you look back over your life, you can see how He was meeting you at every corner of your life faithfully.
Absolutely. Like you always say, David, it takes more faith to not believe.
Well, dear friends, we have a great testimony given to us today. David, thank you for being with us. I really appreciate so much your openness, your sharing. You've got 10 seconds. What would you say to all our listeners?
We all have our junk, and we'll all be in heaven soon enough. But while we're here on earth, just focus on those that God has placed in your life and just give and serve to those. Just love on others, judge no one, and just have faith.
Yeah, and I would add to that, don't be bitter when bad stuff happens. Trust the Lord. Have patience. Believe that He's in control. He's working all things together for good. All means all, and He is in our lives using everything for His glory. David Hoffman, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me, David.
And everyone, may I end the program like I always ended. I exhort you to please love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That which God loves the most in the world is our neighbors, the people who have the image of God stamped on their lives. And if you do those two things, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. I'll talk with you all next week.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.